the bar, biblical and reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the scripture, sola scriptura, scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. That means scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces.
Welcome to the bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, and I am excited. Once again, I know I say that every week, but I think it's just these awesome guests that I keep being blessed by. Today, I am definitely blessed to have my brother Paul. What's up, big Paul? How are you, sir?
Man, I'm good. I can't complain. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, doing good. I see you from North Carolina, so you already got my heart, man, because that's actually where I'm from. But I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself and all that to the folks. But those that don't know, you know what? I'm going to just go ahead and kick it to you, Paul, man. Just tell the folks who you are and why I got you on the show, man.
Oh, all right. Sounds good, man. My name is Paul Van Team. I'm 30 years old. I live in Eastern North Carolina in a city called Jacksonville. I was born and raised here. I lived all over the place. I was in the Army for a few years. I came to know Jesus in a saving way when I was serving in Iraq in 2009. I grew up Pentecostal, very legalistic, and I never really understood the gospel. Is it all right if I give you my testimony?
Hey, go for it, man. Fine. Roll with it.
So I grew up in a pretty legalistic, church and household. And my understanding of the gospel was, accept Jesus in your heart, really mean it, and do your best not to backslide and not to lose your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I went overseas in 2009. And the Lord in his providence brought a guy into my life named Mark Howard. He was an Air Force captain, and he started discipling me. And he actually took me through the doctrines of grace, and I resisted for a while. And I remember calling my pastor back home and asking him, what is this Calvinism stuff? How can I fight against it? How can I debunk these arguments?
Right.
And he sent me a book called Life in the Sun by I can't remember who wrote it, but he was some Southern seminary professor who was anti-Calvinist, and he sent me this book, and I'm overseas in Baghdad, Iraq, while this is happening, and I started reading through this book trying to find some way to get out of believing the doctrines of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And every argument that this guy presented, he took scripture out of context. His arguments against Reformed theology, or Calvinism, I should say, that actually convinced me that the teachings were true.
Wow.
And, I came home from Iraq in 2010. I went back to my parents' church, the big Pentecostal church. I started teaching the young men the doctrines of the doctrine of perseverance, because we were all struggling with one day we were saved, the next day we weren't saved, and we would judge our salvation based on based on whether we looked at porn that day or not,
Exactly.
I got called out by the pastor and as a false teacher, and mind you, I probably wasn't the most gracious new Calvinist back then.
Yeah, cage stage, right?
I sometimes still find myself in the cage stage.
Yeah, me too.
But I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's some things that trigger us,
mm-hmm.
back into that frame of mind. But anyway, to make a long story longer, I ended up becoming a member of a small Reformed Baptist church in a little town called Richlands, North Carolina. Pastor Brian Mann, he's still there today. We're actually back there now. But he really took me under his wing. The church, you know, helped me to break the legalistic mindset. And I spent 2 years at the undergrad program at Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest. I haven't finished the degree yet, but I did 2 years there and ended up moving back to, actually I was on staff at a Acts 29 church as a worship leader for 2 years as well. And, I moved back to Jacksonville when I met my wife, who is from France. Her name is Emily. We got married here and we're members at Catherine Lake Baptist, the small Reformed Baptist church that I told you about earlier. And we're just here learning how to be married. We got married in June.
Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. And we found out this past Saturday that we are 5 weeks pregnant.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, praise God for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So we're just trying to learn how to live together and learn how to be married. You know, it's when you're single, you have all these, you know, grand visions of what it looks like to be married.
Of course.
But then you get married and you realize, wait a minute, this person isn't going to fulfill my deepest needs like this, like I thought they would, you know? And, we're having a good time though, man. God has definitely brought some good people into our lives to disciple us. And, he's also brought some younger believers into our lives that we're able to pour into. Mm-hmm. And, for that, we're grateful. So that's my testimony and my life story in a nutshell.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. You actually, I didn't know a lot of that, man. kind of the same background that I came out of, man. But you did miss one point, man. One point, and I was waiting for you to go into it, man. The tight gear, you got to talk about this company and how it come about and who's all in it with you, man. Talk to the people about that.
Yeah, right on. I started Righteous Wretch kind of on accident. It was my Twitter handle for the longest time, just Righteous Wretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been into, like, you know, being creative, and I'm a musician as well, and you know, I kind of grew up in the punk rock scene and the hardcore scene, and you know, I would design like show flyers and logos for bands, and and then when I got, you know, when I after 2 years at Southeastern, I was actually painting one of my friends a bedroom in his house, and I just had the idea, you know, just to put Charles Spurgeon on a shirt, you know, with the boombox, and you know, just put the Spurge on there.
Right.
And I thought, there's an airplane flying overhead. Give me 1 second. I live in a military town, so there's constantly aircraft going overhead.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, the microphone is canceling it out. I don't hear anything.
Okay, cool. So I had the idea for the shirt, and I had 30 of them made, and I put them on the image on Instagram, not thinking that anyone would really get it or really care.
Right.
And Joe Thorne, you know,
my buddy.
Everyone knows he's saved in my phone as the Joe Thorne, you know, because there's only one Joe Thorne.
Better believe it.
And you can never call him Joe, you know, it's mm-mm. Joe Thorne.
Yeah, or Joe freaking Thorne.
Joe freaking Thorne, that's right, that's right. He saw the image on Instagram, and he reposted it, the picture of the Spurge.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that, and I got real excited because I was already a fan of Joe Thorne.
Right.
And I sent him a message. I was like, hey, Joe, if you give me a shout-out, you know, to where you found that artwork, I'll send you a free shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So he did that, and I ended up selling out of those shirts and like 30 of those shirts in a couple weeks.
Wow.
And whenever I get new gear, I try to send it his way, you know, so he can, you know, promote it or not promote it if he doesn't want to. But and then it just led to, you know, one thing led to another. I started meeting like artists who had pretty good theology, who liked what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just, you know, we would collaborate and go back and forth, and So it's just kind of a one thing led to another situation. Okay. It wasn't, you know, I didn't have like this grand plan or, you know, a business model or in,
right.
It's actually been kind of bittersweet
mm-hmm.
because of that, because I've had to learn a lot of things the hard way.
And
getting orders out on time and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't have any startup funds, so I was doing a lot of pre-orders in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do sometimes, but, yeah, we're making it, man. It's small business. On the outside, it looks like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But on the, you know, from my perspective, it's day to day trying to make right. it happen, you know, the grind.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but yeah, that's a little bit about how it got started.
Okay. Well, you know, and I like that about, you and who you're working with, man. Because the end product is great. Like it's, you know, it, to me, cause you know, I mean, I wish this was video. I'm rocking the, Still Fresh t-shirt right now. To
yeah.
me, man, you know, it speaks right into my style, man, because you know, when people think Reformed theology or Calvinism, you know, well, I know I did. I thought it was just this stiff, you know, Stephen Lawson, red tie with yeah. the stripes across. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
to find a Joe Thorne and to find, you know, a Jeff Durbin and then, you know, these T's, it speaks to where my theology is sound, but I'm still smooth. I'm still cool. You know what I'm saying? So that's
yeah,
one thing that
yeah.
I love about it, man. And that's really present in, you know, in the styles and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it appeals to the cool people. Cause, I'm not one of those cool people, you know, but,
yeah, man, it definitely does. The Still Fresh, you know, the Spurge. I mean, you know, everybody knows about the boombox and all of that good stuff, man. All of that, you know, it speaks to it. And even, I mean, even the simple designs, I think the last one I got was the only guy can make a man bring back. I mispronounced it. How does it go?
Only God can make dead men live.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that one's fresh too. And it's just the style and the persona, man, of it. So, I think I ran into one of your artists, online. I'm trying to remember his name. He did the, Doctrine and Devotion design.
Yeah, that's Josh Cooper.
Okay, Josh Cooper. Yeah, me and him.
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, I was just saying, me and him kind of, you know, inboxed a little bit, and I was hollering at him because I just like the way he do things, man. So how did you guys hook up, and tell me about that?
I just saw him on Instagram one day, and I sent him a message. I asked him if he wanted to collaborate because I liked his style. And he actually, the shirt that I put out, the cross is my anchor in Latin, crush me and Cora with the, right. with the anchor. He had already designed that shirt, and so it's already in the shoot. And so we linked up and we released that shirt first.
Mm.
And but he's the one who designed the skull with the leaves.
Gotcha.
He designed the Only God Can Make Them Dead Men Live shirt. He designed the Bold as Lions shirt. He designed the Righteous Reds Union shirt. Yeah. He's designed the bulk of my shirts.
Okay. Yeah, he has yeah. good work, man. He really does. So what's the significance, I don't know, of the skull and the leaf? I always wondered that.
Yeah, the skull just represents death, and the leaves and the rays above the skull's head, they represent life.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it basically just communicates the idea of righteous wretch, you know, like
right.
we've been declared righteous. There's life, there's purpose, but we're still trapped in this wrecked body of flesh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and it's also good too. Like one thing I love about Josh's work is he doesn't like to close the circle for people. He likes to like keep the design. It's direct, but it also doesn't explain like everything we're trying to say. That way it leaves room for conversation.
Right.
So yeah. Like the Righteous Wretch Union shirt has a cross with two scales on it that are evenly balanced. Now, a believer would know what that meant, but, you know, someone who's lost or, you know, kind of ignorant of the gospel, that would, they wouldn't know what that you know, what that was trying to communicate. And it just opens up the door for conversation.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely, man. And that's another reason why I love t-shirts, man. I mean, you know, even prior to being saved, you know, I always was a big, you know, I'm a t-shirt guy, man, you know, I have something that's saying something. And I love wearing, you know, like I said, it's still fresh. It's funny because like I was in Costco and this guy, this older guy, and I guess he recognized the faces on it. He was like, oh, I get it. Okay. Oh, you're reformed. And then we just got in this conversation, man. It was just cool that he recognized that, you know, and you know me, you know, 6 foot black guy with twist in my hair, you know what I'm saying? Any other, you know, I could have had on anything, but that created, you know, some kind of connection that he probably would have never thought he had with me, you know? So, that was just really cool, man. And that's why I really love the gear. And I still got to get the hat, man. But right now my twist game is tight, so I ain't covering it up. So,
yeah, I hear you, man. I started going bald when I was 21. So, any nice hat I can get my hands on, you know, I have to have it. If I had hair, I would have dread or something like that, you know. But I've been trying to talk my wife into dreading her hair.
Okay.
Someday she's on board, someday she's not. So it depends on how nice I am to her.
Yeah, so. There you go. Hey, who knows? She might listen to this and it just, you know, it convinces her. Yeah. So, you know, the man like dreads, hook him up.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So you have t-shirts, you have hats, and recently the cigar box. Anything, what else do you have and what else is coming? What do you see?
Let's see here. I don't really plan these things out. It's just kind of like when inspiration strikes.
Okay.
I'm working on a hoodie right now, a zip up hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do a limited run of those. Or thinking about maybe putting the skull on the back of the hoodie, like on the lower back.
Mm-hmm.
That way the hood doesn't, you know, take away from the image. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then maybe like, a patch on the front left breast pocket area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility. I just put in a big order with my printer today, and he's waiting to hear back from me on how many I want. But
okay.
I'm doing the Bold as Lions. I'm getting that printed with it was black ink on a gray t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to get it white ink on a black crew neck sweater
or sweatshirt. Yeah, that'll be tight.
Because it's getting a little cooler out, and by the time they're done being printed and stuff, it'll be, you know, almost fall, or I guess it is almost fall.
Right. See me, I just keep wearing short sleeves and throw a thermal underneath, man. That's me, man.
Oh, yeah, hear that. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Anything else?
Yeah. I might do another run of the cigar boxes. I'm not sure. You know, a lot of people won't order something until they see it. And, you know, they see other people posting pictures or hear their friends, you know, talking about it. So I might do another run of those. The production of those took a lot longer than I thought. So,
gotcha.
Righteous Wretch is, I'd love for it to be my full-time gig. Last year around, you know, Christmas time, you know, it was like full blown, you know, every day, 9 to 5. Since we're about to have a baby and stuff, I'm not pulling the reins back, but I'm looking for, I paint houses too on this, for my dad.
Okay.
That's my full time gig.
Right.
And, but I'm looking for a better job right now just because, you know, when I was a single guy, you know, I didn't care. I took risks. I was pretty reckless. But now that I'm married, especially with a child on the way, I'm like, man, I need some good health insurance. You know what I'm saying?
So exactly.
I was a veteran, so I always had the VA hospital in case I ever had like a super emergency. But But now that I'm married, you know, I'm on the job hunt, especially with the kid on the way.
Right, right.
But there's probably more information than you were looking for, but.
Oh, no, it's cool, bro. Yeah. I'm all about being transparent, man. That's the bar, yeah. Man. That's our personality. And I'd definitely be praying, man, something comes available.
Yeah.
And hopefully something that won't take too much away from righteous.
Yeah. Here's what I need for your listeners out there. I need an old dude who has a lot of money who likes to take big risks. That's mm-hmm. what I'm looking for. give us some cash flow and help us innovate. But you know, if not, you know, the Lord's will be done. So
oh yeah, most definitely.
I'm not worried about it.
Most definitely. Yeah, never worried about it, man. Yeah, I need, and while we putting that order, I need one of those too. One of those old men.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Yeah, man. That is so cool, man. So I guess what I like to do on my show, I do it every now and again. I get to do it, but I don't get to do it that often. You know, I know you like, you know, Joe Thorne. What other guys do you listen to? Like, if we was to, you know, find your sermon audio account, or I don't know if you listen to any other podcasts or any other televangelists, or not televangelists, because not those guys, but you know who I'm talking about.
Creflow, I like Creflow.
Word. This interview is over.
No, let me tell you, dude. Let me tell you something. I'm about to tell a story. I'm about to tell you a story that's gonna make all your listeners think I'm a heretic.
Oh, here we go.
But and you'll probably think I'm a heretic too. But my wife and I, we got into a car wreck like a month ago, and we had a rental car for a little while, and it had XM radio or Sirius radio, one of those two. Mm-hmm. And there was the Joel Osteen channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we were listening to the Joel Osteen channel. And yes, the dude is a heretic. Yes, the guy, he's going to, you know, split hell wide open unless he repents and believes the gospel. But
he's motivational. Dude,
we were driving down the road, and I was like, I'm really encouraged right now. I was like, wait a minute. God is not angry with me? Wait, I'm blessed? Like, and I mean, the thing is,
I know.
Like, there's some encouraging truth in there.
Oh, yeah.
If you apply it in a biblical way, and if you, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm not saying go out and listen to Joel Osteen, but I was having a bad day. I was listening to this guy. And he was like, you were favored, you were mm-hmm. loved, mm-hmm. you were all these things. And I think a lot of times Reformed type preachers are, you know, we talk a lot about how we're wretched, how we're, you know, we're totally depraved and, you know, we can't please God. But man, if we're in Christ, then God is pleased with us. You know, he is pleased. He is well pleased with those who are in Christ because mm-hmm. he's pleased with Christ. Mm-hmm. And, but some teachers that I like personally, I'll take a minute to make this point too. God has been teaching me lately the importance of the local pastor.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I think in this culture, we're Americans, so we love to consume everything that mm-hmm. has to do with what we love. And I contribute to it with my t-shirts too, but there's, you know, a gospel-centered book for every little, for every niche. Mm-hmm. There's a conference for every niche. There's a teacher who, you know, for this and that, like we're constantly consuming, you know, Reformed, culture.
Mm-hmm.
And man, but God has really been teaching me the value of the local pastor, the guy who will never speak at a big gospel centered conference.
That's
the
good.
Guy who will never have a book published. He'll never write an article for Table Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor now, his name is Brian Mann. He's been pastoring this flock faithfully for years. You know, you don't see his name on the T4G flyer, but this guy, I mean, this guy is a shepherd. Like, he mm-hmm. is genuinely concerned for the lives of the people that are under his care. And I think that it would do us good to be reminded of that God has given us elders to, you know, overseers to help us grow and to, you know, everything we need is in the local church, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, so I definitely have my celebrity pastors that I like and my, authors that I like, but I just want to give a shout out all the local pastors who are grinding it out, who don't get the recognition they deserve, who, you know, they might not be the greatest communicators, they might not be the greatest expositors, but they are faithful to the text. They are faithful to care for the sheep that you know are the great shepherd has entrusted them with. So I wanted to say that first of you know, my pastor. But other pastors that I like, that Kevin DeYoung, I think that he nails it when he talks about personal holiness and prayer, how these are not big themes these don't seem to be overarching themes in this new reformed revival, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, we talk a lot about grace and you know, there's grace for your failures, but I love how Kevin DeYoung, he's kind of known for talking about holiness and holiness that's empowered by grace and driven by grace. And so Kevin DeYoung is good. I think his sermons at the last few Together for the Gospels were great. His book, The Hole in Our Holiness. And I say this not because I've got the market cornered on holiness. You know, I need God's help and his grace to overcome and to be more like Christ every day.
Right.
But, Kevin DeYoung, for sure. I love Joe Thorne. We already brought him up, but, I love his teaching style. I think he's, I love the way he communicates. And, you know, he's just a very genuine guy. He's not trying to be something he's not. He just is who he is. And I love when that comes, like, one thing I can't stand is when a pastor, when he hits the pulpit, takes on a persona that's not his own.
Exactly.
You know, that's one thing my pastor told me too, is like, you know, rabbit trail, but he said that, if a pastor gets exhausted in the pulpit, it's because he's trying to be something he's not. And he's trying to, what did he say? He said, he's basically thinking too much about himself or how the people perceive him.
Mm-hmm.
But if a pastor will stick to the scriptures and be passionate for what God is saying in the scriptures, and communicating that to his flock, then he will actually be energized by his preaching. You know, and, you know, I'm not a pastor or a preacher, so, you know, I know we're all wired differently, but I love that, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We don't have to be something we're not, you know, we can just be who we are, and we can be who we are, but be who we are in light of who we are in Christ, you know.
Right.
But, so Kevin DeYoung, Joe Thorne, who else do I like? I love John MacArthur, man. I know a lot of people don't his dispensationalism or whatever, but dude, his sermon, What is the Gospel, on Ephesians 5 that sermon is incredible, man. Like, and his teaching style is great too. I love John MacArthur. I like the straight-laced reform guys like Steve Lawson.
Oh yeah, me too.
Steve Lawson did a really good thing, good series, and you can find it on Ligonier. Doctrines of Grace Found in the Gospel of John.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
And he talks about how you know, a lot of people go to Paul and, you know, to teach the doctrines of grace,
right?
Because Paul really lays it out in Romans and Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus himself, especially in John chapter 6, John chapter 10. You could find all 5 points of Calvinism explicitly taught by Christ himself. Let's see. So Steve Lawson, Paul Washer, I know that he's a favorite of a lot of people, but,
He's another one that I like. People too. Like him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So no one, I don't have any like secret preachers that no one knows about that I can. It's the ones that we all love.
Yeah. So. That's cool, man. That's pretty much, I mean, you named everybody that I like as well. I just like to see, you know, But I love, love, love the shout out to the local pastor, man. That's very encouraging for those local pastors that may be listening, man. That you know, like you said, they may not make it to the big conference or write that big book or whatever, man. And I'm longing for that because I'm actually looking for, you know, that I'm looking for a local ministry to be a part of. So just in that, man, I'm kind of like, oof, I'm ready for that.
Are you Baptist or Presbyterian? I don't know.
Bro, I'm finding my way.
Okay, you're finding your way. Okay.
Yeah, I originally went to when I first found Reformed Theology, I originally went to a couple Presbyterian meetings and then I didn't even know there was a Baptist side, and then I discovered a Baptist side and I read the Westminster, and I'm just finishing up the London Baptist Confession, and I think I'm leaning towards 1689. That 1689 has my heart right now, but I just want to weigh it out. And then there's and it's funny because there's a Reformed Baptist Church on one side of the road, down the road from me, and across the street is a Presbyterian. Literally, no lie.
Okay.
So I could go down there and turn left or right. So I'm just I'm there, man. I'm fairly new to it, man. A lot of people don't know, but I'm fairly new to the Reformed, and like I said, I've been, you know, Pentecostal, Word of Faith, you know, NAR. I've been in all of those camps, man, and now I'm here, man, with this solid doctrine. So that's where I am, and you know, a lot of people kind of question this whole idea of having a podcast being so, you know, new to it, man. But I've been doing radio with my Facebook page for years. And what better way for me to grow and experience and meet people than to get right back out here, you know, fresh on this whole, you know, Reformed theology thing, man. But yeah, so I will say that I am 80% 1689.
Okay.
Me and my wife, we're working through it. Like I said, maybe a month ago, you know, took my time through the confession, man, and really that's kind of the way I was raised. I was raised Baptist, but it wasn't, you know, Reformed Baptist. It was just regular Southern Baptist. So that actually resonates a little more to me.
Yeah.
So we just, you know, we'll see. I'll put it out there whenever I'm official.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I really just want to find a home, man, and lock a place down. You know, we visit. That's pretty much what we do. We visit, you know, trying to find a good match for the team and all that. Because I got one on the way as well. I'm a little bit further than you. You're a couple weeks. I'm actually 23 weeks. So we'll have another addition in December, and that'll make number 4 for us. So, yeah, you got to catch up, man. You behind, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, man.
I got a lot to learn, man. We were just chilling at the house, and my wife came out. She's like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, what? Like, and you know, like, I've had a lot of friends talk about how hard it was for them to conceive.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So, and I'm kind of a pessimist by nature. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I'm nobody special. It's going to take a long time for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, bam, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like,
there you go.
That easy. All right.
Yeah,
I'm obeying the first Great Commission.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Be fruitful, multiply. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man, and it's funny you said that, man, because me and my wife, we were married 5 years before we had our first. And then we had our first, and then after that, it just kept coming.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. So I was actually talking to a girl who was Presbyterian for a while. We were friends for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to date, and then we knew it wouldn't work out, then we would try again. Mm-hmm. And I finally asked her, it's like, do you have any Reformed Baptist friends? I tried to be Presbyterian for this girl, and it just didn't work. I was like, I can't be Presbyterian. And so I asked her, I was like, do you have any Reformed Baptist friends? She's like, yeah, I got one, but she lives in France. And I was like, well, that's just a minor detail, you know?
Right.
And so I started talking to my wife then, which was, I found out about her in December of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I we started talking online in January.
Mm-hmm.
And we would Skype, and you know, it's funny, we would talk on the phone all the time, but whenever we would video Skype, we would get into a fight. Like, we would argue. And she's like, "Who's this goofy guy? He sounds so serious on the phone, but when we video chat, he's like making faces and, you know." And so she came here in April for a 3-week visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her in the airport, and I was like, "I'm going to marry this girl."
Yes, sir.
Her plan was to go back to France, mm-hmm. and then we would apply for a fiance visa and all that. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want to be separated, so we actually got married in June. So we met for the first time April 21st, mm-hmm. and we were married June 11th.
Yes, and sir. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then we found out September 10th that we're having a baby. So
wow.
It's just one thing after another, man.
It's been a good year for you, man.
yeah. Very good year. So
that's awesome, man. That's kind of, I met my wife on MySpace.
MySpace.
Yeah, man. Throwback, son. Throwback.
Man, we need to bring MySpace back, bro.
I know, right? But yeah, I met her on MySpace, man. And saw her for the very first time in November. And we got engaged in February, and we got married in July. So I didn't waste too much time either. Yes, sir. When you know, you know.
Oh, yeah. So where are you located?
I'm in Greenville, South Carolina. But
okay,
I grew up in a little town called Turkey, North Carolina. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. It's near Fayetteville, right?
Yes. It's rare that I meet somebody that knows something about Turkey.
Yeah. Well, I was stationed at Fort Bragg for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went to Fayetteville State.
Yeah, okay. And so I would get lost a lot driving back and forth. This
mm-hmm.
was, you know, 2007 when mm-hmm. GPSs were not as common or I would miss my exit a lot. And so I would find myself driving through Turkey.
Yeah, man. You seen the sign then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's my bread and butter, man. Born and raised there.
Right on, yeah. Greenville's a nice town, too, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice. You been to Greenville? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend. His name is Philip Moses. He lives there.
Oh, and, Phil, that's my homeboy.
Yeah. Oh, you hang out with him?
Yeah, man. We in the same cigar club on Wednesday nights and everything, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right on, yeah. Yeah, that's down there last year, and I just texted him out of the blue. I was like, "Hey, man, I'm in Greenville." 10 minutes later, he and his wife met me downtown, and we, had dinner.
Sweet, so, man. Yeah,
Phil's,
I love Phil, man. Shout out to Phil. Hey, Phil, what's up, homie? Look, I'm trying to get Phil to subscribe, man. He's slow-footing on me. I guess he want me to have him on as a guest or something.
okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. But I was supposed to see him last night, but he stood us up. We got a little Wednesday night cigar club or whatever. And last night was his wife's birthday, so he missed it. But
man, you're gonna think this is disgusting, but while we've been doing this interview, I've been smoking a Black and Mild. Man, I keeps it real, okay?
Oh, okay. Hey, that's real. That's real. That's real.
$1.39, okay? When you got a baby on the way.
Yeah. Oh, I feel you, bro.
I know JoJo and Fofo don't approve of that, but
hey, but look, we ain't all half business owners and published authors either, so
that's true.
Yeah, it's true. I found out that Jimmy's father owns this big business, and he's like partial owner, so that's we can't do that.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were actually up there in July. We went to Legacy Conference, and then we went to St. Charles to visit Joe and Jimmy. We actually stayed at Jimmy's house.
Oh, you did too?
Look,
Jimmy invited me to come up there and stay at his house.
Oh, man.
I told him that would be my 2017 goal.
Yeah, they're like super, great hosts, man. Like mm-hmm. great food, comfortable bed, and their kids are the cutest kids, man. Like, it actually made me sadder to leave his three kids than to leave him.
That is awesome, man. Will you be at G3 this year or next year?
I'm considering it. I thought about having a vendor spot there, Just depends on how Righteous Stretch looks over the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
A guy in my church just bought his ticket, and he told me I need to buy mine. So right now it's 50-50.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Will you be there?
Yes, sir. I just got the okay from my wife, man. So nice. I'll definitely be in the building. Like. You better believe it.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Exactly. Hopefully, man, you'll get your. We're gonna believe, man, that.
Yeah, I'm gonna let's touch and agree on that right now.
Yes, sir. Right now. Look, don't make me revert back, man. We're gonna speak it into existence in a minute.
Shove it a Hyundai.
Man, Paul. Hey, man. It has been a blast talking to you, man. And I got your number, man. You need to just, kind of chat it up every now and again. You know what I'm saying?
Send me a SMS message sometime.
Yeah. I got you, bro. We'll definitely do that, man.
That was an Office reference. You remember Dwight Schrute? He's like, I will SMS message her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny show. Let the people know, man, where they can find you, how they can find your stuff, and all that good stuff, man, before we get out of here.
Yeah, you can find me at RighteousWretch.com, SpurgeonSwag.com, and on Instagram, RighteousWretchApparel. I know it's a mouthful, but it's worth it, I promise. And Twitter, RighteousWretch. And you can find me on Facebook, Paul Van Tiem, VanTiem. I'm just don't let how uncool I am ruin your perspective of Righteous Wretch. Look us up. If you use the discount code, it's RWUnion. So RWUnion. I think it's 25% off or 20% off. I can't remember. But I just leave that on there, in case someone wants to buy something. It's just a standard code I use for discount. So
okay,
we're not trying to make a killing or anything. So
sweet.
But yeah, check us out. Check out our shirts. And sorry for the delay times and shipping. Had a lot of things go on this year, and we're trying to work our way out of being behind. So. By God's grace, hopefully in the next couple months the next month or so we'll be kicking things out a lot quicker. But just so you know, and I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been a joy, a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Same here, man. And make sure you check me out, because I'm the Righteous Wretch model. I'm always rocking these shirts. Yes, sir. But definitely enjoyed you, Paul, man. Those that are listening, make sure you tell somebody about this. Make sure you tweet it, you Facebook it, and subscribe, man. And we just love to have you come here and sit at the bar with us. And Paul, man, appreciate you again. God bless you. We out.
Bye. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio. If you want to tune into something radically different, unlike anything anywhere, tune in to Babar. That's right, Babar. Black, Biblical, and Reformed. Nobody is doing that. It only has one B? Never mind.
The Bar. Biblical and Reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the Scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from Scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the Scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the Scripture, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. That means Scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces. Just